In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Children arouse mixed emotions in people. There is the awe factor, the awe and excitement of a newborn baby. Or the little ones looking cute in the nativity play with tea towels on their heads to look like shepherds. But then there is a darker side. In Britain, in the past few weeks, there has been outrage at yet another case of a young child abused and eventually killed by his mother and her partner. But alongside this sense of indignation, we learn that many people also see children as a threat. Stories in the media about children out of control are readily believed. And people will say they will cross the street when they see a group of children ahead of them. The Christmas story spans the same range of emotions and situations. We marvel at the beauty and the wonder of the manger scene, briefly noticing the themes of rejection and poverty lurking in the shadows. And now we have moved on to the horror of Herod's soldiers let loose in Bethlehem, like some modern South American death squad, murdering street children who are seen as a threat to law and order. Or it puts us in mind of the reality of life in Bethlehem today, where local Christians are being squeezed out by their Muslim neighbours, and both are at risk from terrorist provocation and retaliation by Israeli soldiers, where normal daily life is impossible because of checkpoints and security barriers. The weeping mothers of Bethlehem today, of Zimbabwe, Afghanistan, Liverpool, all echo those mothers of Herod's Bethlehem, who in turn repeat the lamentation of Rachel, spoken of by the prophet Jeremiah, which was 600 years before that again. Light and darkness, glory and weeping. The Christmas story moves rapidly from one to another, back and forth. But why? Why did God choose to send this baby, his only son, to be born into such a dangerous, imperfect world? Why did he not wait until everybody was ready, sending more prophets perhaps, to preach and teach and preach again until everyone would understand? If he had done that, then the Holy Family would not have had to flee for their lives before Herod's soldiers. The light of the world would not have been rejected by his own, but would have been received with joy. That, though, is a very human way of thinking and planning. But it is not God's way. It was not then, and it is not now. God comes to us unawares, often when we least expect him, often in the company of unlikely people and unexpected situations. God is not where we expect him. That is why, after all, the wise men went to the wrong place, to Herod's palace, to look for a king. They had not understood, even though they had been following the signs. But that is precisely the point. God does not wait until we are ready for him. He does not demand that we will understand before he reveals himself to us. No wonder all the characters in the Christmas story, Joseph, Mary, the shepherds, the Magi, they are all perplexed and puzzled when God comes into their lives. And the same is true of us in our walk with God. The 4 weeks of Advent were indeed a time of preparation, a time of getting ready, but not so much to understand as to be ready to be open to an awareness of God's presence, the God of surprises. That is how we can best receive the Christmas story with its angels, bright lights in the sky, a birth in a stable, and so on. Do not try to understand and analyze. Here, in this manger scene, our faith is to be felt and loved and lived. We are not here to reason, but to kneel. And so, in Jesus, God steps as a vulnerable, helpless baby into a dangerous, unwelcoming world. In fact, it is precisely because we are not ready, because the world is such a violent, imperfect place, that God has chosen to be here and to make his home among us. A modern poet, Anthony Thwaite, picturing the kneeling Magi, writes, "There in the background are the soldiers, helmeted, pikes held ready. The violence is about to start." But then the poem continues, "And they, the soldiers, are there because the message is, even the enemy must come to this moment when God arrived to save all men." God's love, it seems, is without limit, reaching even to those brutal soldiers trying to kill him. And so when we consider the children who will die today of hunger or exhaustion at the hands of soldiers or at the hands of their parents, when we consider the threats to the peace of the world in Bethlehem, North Korea, Congo, when we consider our own unreadiness to hear the word, and our own lack of understanding, then it is not the absence of God we are contemplating, but his presence. As another poet, John Heath Stubbs, puts it, "Into this frozen world, with sap at the end, and hope a leafless tree, new tones of splendor come whispering on the wind, articulating the unutterable mysteries of incarnation and birth. In short, God is with us even when it hurts. Thanks be to God. Amen.